We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 15th chapter, verses 19 to 29. Verse 19. Asantustas vipasya tejo vidya taparusha shavantim vyala yena jnanam chaiva vakiriyate. Because of greed for the sake of the senses, the spiritual strength, education, austerity, and reputation of a devotee or Brahman who is not self-satisfied dwindle, and his knowledge gradually vanishes. Mukam karati vacha dangamangate yakipandam bande shidram yacharinam om jnana chinarandasya jnananjana sadataya So Narada Muni has been giving us instructions on human life, how to live human life properly, and that is spiritual life. Our intelligence as a human being is meant to inquire about spiritual life. So the society should be organized in this way. One of our last comments was pravritti marg and nivritti marg. So we should have nivritti marg, actually. Our Krishna conscious movement is based on nivritti marg, or giving up material desires and becoming attached to Krishna. So in the Vedic society, and people are satisfied. Here it says in this verse, if a Brahman is not satisfied, then he loses everything. His strength, his education, austerity, reputation, and his knowledge gradually vanishes. So this instructions here are going to be given to us how to remove obstacles to our satisfaction. There is so greed for the sake of the senses. This is the first obstacle to satisfaction of the mind, mental satisfaction. If we're greedy for our senses, then we cannot be satisfied, because we'll never have enough. It always has to increase. Burjan tells a story about one Hollywood film star. And this is American film star. He got remarried 7 times. And the 7th wife was his 3rd wife, recycled. So it goes on like that, on and on. They don't get enough. And I heard one nice story in class, that one time one king told all his Brahmins in the kingdom that if anyone could answer his question, he would give them half his kingdom. So the question was, what is the price of fall down? What is the price of fall down? So one poor Brahmin really wanted to get the answer to this question. So he went to a rich man, and this rich man said, yes, I can tell you the answer. So this rich man had one prostitute. The rich man said, you just stay here and you'll get your answer. So he told the Brahmin, you just take a few fruits from this prostitute. And the Brahmin said, no, I can't do that. But then he convinced, no, it's okay, because you can offer it to your deity and then it'll purify it. And so he accepted the fruits, he offered it to his deity. Then after some time, the rich man told the Brahmin, oh, now the prostitute will cook for you. Now you have to eat what she cooks. So the Brahmin said, no, I cannot do that. I cannot accept it. No, the rich man said, nobody will see you. You're so far away from your home. And besides that, I'll give you 10 gold coins. So the prostitute cooked, she put it before the Brahmin. Then the rich man came and he grabbed away the food. He said, now you know the price of fall down, and that is greed. So this is the price of fall down, greed. Greed is very, very difficult to overcome. Here's a warning for all Brahmins, or who want to be Brahmins, give up greed. Verse 20. The strong bodily desires and needs of a person disturbed by hunger and thirst are certainly satisfied when he eats. Similarly, if one becomes very angry, the anger is satisfied by chastisement and its reaction. Because you get a reaction when you chastise, usually. But as for greed, even if a greedy person has conquered all directions of the world or has enjoyed everything in the world, still, he will not be satisfied. So some things you can satisfy, but greed cannot be satisfied. Any examples of this? Yes, Madhavendrapuri.
Marajayati.
Who?
Marajayati.
Marajayati, yes. He had that realization. We'll hear in Adiprush. Hiranyakashipu, yeah, he had the whole universe. Imagine. Ravana also, he was not satisfied. He had all gold. He still wanted Sita. So what to do? Prabhupada tells us what to do with greed in the purport, in paragraph 2. If one is very greedy to enhance his Krishna consciousness, this is a great boon. Tatralayam ekalam mulam. This is the best path available. So we can have greed to increase our Krishna consciousness. Now, what does Bhagavad Gita say about greed? Hare Prush?
One of the three gates to hell.
Yes, three gates to hell. And I have the verse right here. Chivitam narakasyedam dvaram nashanam atmana kamakrodhas tatalobhas tasmade tachayam tajit. Three gates leading to hell, lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. And remember, in the fifth canto, sixth chapter, fourth verse, an unchaste woman is very easily carried away by paramours. It sometimes happens her husband is violently killed by her paramours. If the yogi gives his mind a chance and does not restrain it, his mind will give facility to enemies like lust, anger, and greed, and they will doubtlessly kill the yogi. So how to overcome greed? It is said in the next verse, 5:6:5, the mind is the root cause of lust, anger, greed, pride, lamentation, illusion, and fear. Combined, these constitute bondage to fruitive activity. What learned man would put faith in the mind? So Prabhupada says the best way to control the mind is what? For Chantari Krishna? Yes. Yes, lotus feet. Savai mana Krishna pararavindayo. Engage the mind in the lotus feet of Krishna. And that means chant Hare Krishna. Verse 21. Now we'll hear some more instructions. O King Yudhisthira, many persons with varied experience, many legal advisors, many learned scholars, and many persons eligible to become presidents of learned assemblies fall down into hellish life because of not being satisfied with their positions. So in the let me read here. We have a commentary by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur on this verse. So, because of greed, he says they fell down. What is the cause of fall down? It is because of greed. Excessive greed makes all qualifications useless. In this purport, Prabhupada says there are two things which nullify all good qualities. What are those two things which nullify all good qualities? One is an interesting thing. And one thing we already know. What is being emphasized? Huh? Vaishnava Prahad. Yeah, well, that's true. Also. Well, greed. Number one, greed. We've been talking about that. And number two?
Desire for prestige.
Desire for prestige. Yeah, that's a good answer. Huh?
It's the same. Then
greed. Yeah, greed. Yeah. Adipurush.
Poverty.
Nullifies all good qualities. Can you imagine? What about our poverty-stricken Brahmins?
Poverty brings mediocrity.
Brings mediocrity. Yeah, so here it says, for spiritual advancement, one should be materially satisfied. For if one is not materially satisfied, his greed for material development will result in the frustration of his spiritual advancement. There are two things that nullify all good qualities. One is poverty. Daridra dosho guna rashi nashi. If one is poverty-stricken, all his good qualities become null and void. Similarly, if one becomes too greedy, his good qualifications are lost. Therefore, the adjustment is one should not be poverty-stricken. One must try to be fully satisfied with the bare necessities of life and not be greedy. So this is the argument that many Indians here in India give for not taking to Krishna consciousness. They say, you Americans, you have all the money and everything. That's why you can renounce. They say, we have to get the money, and then we can prepare. they say that. Rajneesh philosophy, Osho philosophy. No, first we have to let us become like you first. Have all the money, and then we can renounce all the money. No, but it never happens. They have all the money, but the renunciation part doesn't come. And so this is what happens. And so what to do? For a devotee to be satisfied with the bare necessities is therefore the best advice for spiritual advancement. So all of you who are eager to to advance in spiritual life, here's the best advice. Be satisfied with the bare necessities. What can you do? Learned authorities in devotional life consequently advise will not endeavor to increase the number of temples and mats. So none of us have that problem here, I think. We don't have to worry about increasing the numbers of our temples. But we have to worry about small things, like increasing the numbers of rooms in our house or the numbers of possessions in our room. Sridhar Swami, our late Sridhar Swami, who was my godbrother, he said, if you have something which you haven't used in 1 month, you should give it away. That was his advice. Jayapataka Maharaj advises 1 year. If there's something you have which you have not used since 1 year, you should give it away. So this is advice for devotees. Keep the bare necessities of life. Such activities can be undertaken, this is increasing temples, only by devotees experienced in propagating the Krishna consciousness movement. All the acharyas in South India, especially Sri Ramanujacharya, constructed many big temples. And in North India, all the Goswamis of Vrindavan constructed large temples. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also constructed large centers known as Gaudiya Mathas. Therefore, temple construction is not bad, provided proper care is taken for the propagation of Krishna consciousness. Even if such endeavors are considered greedy, the greed is to satisfy Krishna, and therefore these are spiritual activities. So interesting, Prabhupada goes from one extreme to the other in the purport. First he says you should not increase the temples, and then he says, no, it's okay. But Prabhupada does that sometimes. He'll put two sides of view, opposite points of view, and then he'll tell which one is actually correct. So my question is, what does it mean for the bare necessities of life? I think it might be different for grihastha than brahmachari, but according what for a devotee, what is the bare? I know for a preacher, I ask this question: what is the preacher? What is the most important preaching tools for the preacher? Books. I got the answer: computer. Last time, companion of the preacher, computer. Yeah, so bare necessity now would be computer and internet connection and what else?
Cell phone.
Yes. Yes. Bare necessities of life.
Vina.
Tambura. We have our bare necessities of life, yes. It's true. Actually, some people could not live without their cell phone or their computer. Actually, it was funny. I was reading on the internet quite a few months ago how our GBC chairman lost his computer. He was when this big some big thing happened in British Airlines,
terrorist threat.
So they at Heathrow. So he was, and of course, on that he was flying like the day after or something. So they made him check his cell phone and his computer, and both of them were robbed. They were stolen from his luggage. And he said he used to call his computer his baby. That was his baby, and his baby was robbed. And so this is our bare necessities of life in this age of Kali. If you don't have a computer, then you're not with it. Anyway, it's interesting. That is, so our generation has had to adopt this habit. It wasn't, we didn't have computers when Prabhupada was here. When I was typing for Prabhupada, and it was not even an electric typewriter, it was a manual typewriter. Not only was it a manual typewriter, but so many of the keys didn't work. And, and you type and you had to figure out how to really make it work. And not only, yeah, so mistakes in the books could be because of this reason also. And to get the carriage, you have to hit the carriage every time to make it go back. Like, you know, it's like it goes this way and then you have to smash it. So this was the old days. And even Prabhupada, he told us that we should save money. Don't phone people. We should send letters. So just what would you think now? I don't know. Snail mail, yes. Instead of, he would save a paisa to send a letter instead of, but now it's probably cheaper by phone, who knows. I don't know.
But there's Skype, you know.
Yeah, Skype, right. That's so that's good.
It's expensive, the mail, isn't it?
Yeah. So we have, yeah, mail is expensive. Now it's cheaper to use the phone and everything. Times have changed. So bare necessities. There's a conversation with Srila Prabhupada. Our life is simple. We do not want luxury. Simplicity, mental and external, is the hallmark of a brahmachari. He does not accumulate possessions, but keeps only what he needs. He certainly does not have a personal bank account. Whatever he has, he considers to be his guru's property, not his own. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, Saralata, simplicity, is the first qualification of a Vaishnava. If a brahmachari feels attracted to accumulating possessions and opulent life, it is not a good sign for his spiritual advancement. Prabhupada says, nevertheless, if he wants those things, he can marry, earn money, and buy whatever his wife allows him to. But as long as he's in brahmachari ashram, he should live and dress simply. Prabhupada's instructions for a simple living. So here is Bhakti Vikas Maharaj. Brahmacharis should be satisfied with whatever comes to them of its own accord and should not make arrangements for comfortable living. They should be wary of material opulence, even if it comes to them without endeavor. Brahmacharis are supposed to be simple and renounced, so it is not proper for them to accumulate money beyond their immediate needs. Even if a brahmachari is collecting much Lakshmi, he shouldn't want to or feel he has a right to spend it on unnecessary purchases for himself. For a brahmachari to have a large sum of money without a specific Krishna-conscious person or to keep savings is antithetical to the brahmachari ethic. It is also dangerous, for to keep money without using it for Krishna is Ravana's policy and leads to fall down. The proper standard for brahmacharis is to give all money that comes their way to the temple. In this way, a brahmachari's mind can remain uncluttered. He has only one interest in life, service to Guru and Krishna. He does not have family responsibilities to worry about, nor is he involved in cliques or political factions. His clear mind is a potent breeding ground for Krishna consciousness. So then that's for brahmacharis. Now for grihasthas, example is Maharaj Priyavrat. He had Prabhupada in a purport, 5.1.21. As he had been content as a brahmachari, he was content as a husband, father, and king, for he never forgot his purpose. And he conquered the modes of passion and ignorance in all their aspects, including lust, greed, and envy, as well as anger, bitterness, and resentment. He wasn't resentful to Narada Muni, who had him change his ashram. Not Narada Muni, sorry, Swayambhuvamana. And Lord Brahma. Narada Muni wanted to keep him sannyas. 5.1.21, right. So 22, how to give up lusty desires for sense gratification? By making plans with determination, one should give up lusty desires for sense gratification. Similarly, by giving up envy, one should conquer anger. By discussing the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, one should give up greed. So here's a way to give up greed. And by discussing the truth, one should give up fear. So what are the disadvantages of wealth? If you have money, lots of money, what's the problem? Yes, Jamashmi? Yes, you worry you're going to lose it. That's number one. Number two, how to protect your money. You're going to lose it, Vanamali.
Somebody may kill you.
Somebody may kill you for your money. Yes, Sanatana Goswami almost got killed. Yes.
Yeah,
you have to take care of all your possessions. This is a real burden.
Too much trouble.
Too much trouble, yes. Each possession is another anxiety. And so these are disadvantages. So here, how to conquer anger, the middle of the purport. The example given in this regard is even if one is hungry, if on a particular day he's determined to observe fasting, he can naturally conquer the disturbances of hunger and thirst. If one is determined not to be envious of anyone, he can naturally conquer anger. So those of you who have a problem with anger, here is the solution. Be determined not to be envious. Similarly, if one can give up the desire to accumulate wealth simply by considering how difficult it is to protect the money in one's possession. If one keeps a large amount of cash with him, he's always anxious about keeping it properly. Thus, if one discusses the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, he can naturally give up business without difficulty. Now, one statement I found here, by discussing the truth, one should give up fear. So there is a saying in the English language that the truth shall make you free. You become free by knowing the truth. So what is this truth that will keep us free from fear, give us fearlessness? What is this truth?
Absolute truth.
Absolute truth. Krishna, Avaya Charanaravinda. Yes, Janmashtami? Krishna, you agree. Okay. Yes? Tapacha yon mulanam.
It frees us from the threefold miseries.
Threefold miseries, yes. We'll have a verse about that coming up, how to get free from the threefold miseries. And that's one of the ways, by hearing Bhagavatam. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has an answer to this question about truth. By discussing truth means by deliberating on the fact that no one can be a cause of suffering for anyone, since the fruits of one's prarabdha are to be consumed inevitably. So we should not be... Discussing the truth means you know you're going to get your karma. It's inevitable. So no one is responsible. No one is the cause of your suffering. So he's fearless. Okay, and another comment... If lust is given up, there will be no objects of lust evoking violence or malice. And by giving up desire for violence, one will conquer anger. So he's explaining how to conquer anger by giving up envy. So the mind is actually the one that's pushing us to enjoy and get money and do all these things. So a devotee, he depends on Krishna, and then he has no anxiety about these things. So Bhishma Dev... In 1926, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives some advice from Bhishma Dev for all human beings. 9 qualifications for human beings. 1, not to become angry. 2, not to lie. 3, to equally distribute wealth. 4, to forgive. 5, to beget children only by one's legitimate wife. 6, to be pure in mind and hygienic in body. 7, not to be inimical toward anyone. 8, to be simple. And 9, to support servants or subordinates. One cannot be called a civilized person without acquiring the above-mentioned preliminary qualities. So then, in the next purport, see if you can remember, don't look at your computers, that is... Bhishma Dev's instructions, Prabhupada gives him in the purport, to get freedom from anger. Now here we have one thing by giving up envy. Now Bhishma Dev gives us another thing, or Prabhupada in the purport, how to get free from anger.
Compassion.
Hmm?
Compassion.
Compassion. Compassion. Compassion. There's one thing. Why does a person get angry? Yes.
Lust.
Unsatisfied. Actually, to get rid of anger, forgiveness. You're angry because someone did something to you, right? So you have to forgive, and then you give up. That's how you give up your anger. You have to forgive. That's what Prabhupada says. To be free from unlawful desires. This is a hard one. So don't make plans. No plans. And that way you get free from unlawful or vidharma, bad desires, irreligion. Disturbances. Oh, how to conquer sleep by spiritual culture. How can you conquer desires and avarice by tolerance? Diseases can be avoided by
Hatha Yoga.
Yes. Also, Prabhupada says diet. Yes, exactly. Regulated diets. You can conquer disease. Also, Hatha Yoga. Yes. Okay. False hopes. You can get rid of false hopes by self-control. And money can be saved by avoiding undesirable association. How to save money? To avoid undesirable association. So hunger can be conquered by?
Envy or forgiveness.
Hunger.
Oh,
yoga.
Hmm?
Eating. Here he says practice of yoga. And worldliness can be avoided by culturing the knowledge of impermanence. Dizziness can be conquered by rising up. False arguments can be conquered by factual ascertainment. Talkativeness can be avoided by silence and gravity. And by prowess, one can avoid fearfulness. Different here for fearfulness. Perfect knowledge can be obtained by self-cultivation. So these are the more remedies in 1.9.27. More remedies for the same things. Verse 23. How to get overcome obstacles to being satisfied, self-satisfied. 23. By discussing spiritual knowledge, one can conquer lamentation and illusion. By serving a great devotee, one can become prideless. By keeping silent, one can avoid obstacles on the path of mystic yoga. And simply by stopping sense gratification, one can conquer envy. So more ideas here. We have a commentary here by Sridhar Swami. It's talking about the great souls that you're supposed to serve means those in goodness. And what are the obstacles on the path of mystic yoga? Worldly news, he says. Obstacles. So how do we do these? Conquer lamentation and illusion by discussing spiritual knowledge. Okay? So how to conquer the threefold miseries? Text 24. By good behavior and freedom from envy, one should counteract sufferings due to other living entities. So good behavior and freedom from envy. By meditation and trance, one should counteract sufferings due to providence. Meditation and trance, that sounds hard. Meditation and trance. And by practicing hatha yoga, pranayama, and so forth, one should counteract sufferings due to body and mind. Similarly, by developing the mode of goodness, especially in regard to eating, one should conquer sleep. So here's another way to conquer sleep. By eating in the mode of goodness, especially eating, developing the mode of goodness. Welcome, Yashoda. We're talking about instructions for civilized human beings. So, Prabhupada in his purport makes these instructions very relevant for us. But before we continue, let's see what you remember. Don't look at your computers and your books. Oh, Haribo, we have a new one today. I just saw you. Welcome. So we're getting instructions for civilized human beings how to counteract the threefold miseries of life. Let us enlighten our new visitors here. How do you counteract sufferings due to other living entities, according to Bhagavatam, Narada Muni? Satyavati.
Freedom from envy.
Freedom from envy.
And good behavior.
And good behavior. Very good. How do you counteract sufferings due to providence? Meditation and trance. And Janamashtami, how do you counteract sufferings due to the body and mind?
Hatha yoga and pranayama.
Hatha yoga and pranayama. So these instructions sound pretty difficult for us. But Prabhupada, in the purport, makes them relevant, actually. If you go four lines down in the purport, any country where people indulge in unnecessary killing of animals will have to suffer from wars and pestilence imposed by material nature. Comparing one's own suffering to the suffering of others, therefore, one should be kind to all living entities. One cannot avoid the sufferings inflicted by providence. Therefore, when suffering comes, one should fully absorb oneself in chanting Hare Krishna mantra. So here's our meditation in trance. It's meditation on the holy name of the Lord. Prabhupada says, we chant Hare Krishna, we can avoid sufferings due to providence. Do we have that experience here? That by chanting Hare Krishna, we can avoid, yes, we all have experience, sufferings due to providence. And one can avoid sufferings from the body and mind by practicing mystic Hatha Yoga. But in the third canto, I did a comparative study of the Eightfold Path of Hatha Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. And in many purports, Prabhupada was saying, if you chant Hare Krishna, that's pranayama. If you chant and dance in kirtan, you're doing pranayama, actually. That is pranayama. So and when you remember Krishna, then you're already in samadhi. When you think of Krishna, when you remember Krishna, you're on the level of Smaranam is samadhi, dhyana, in the Eightfold Process. So, what are some other ways to counteract the threefold miseries besides what is given here?
Devotional service.
Culture of spiritual knowledge. Okay, and the verse which you said, tapa, chayon mulanam. By hearing the truth, highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion. This truth uproots the threefold miseries. So the truth of Bhagavatam uproots the threefold miseries, if you hear attentively, Srimad Bhagavatam. So let's also review for our benefit of our guests. Don't look at your books or computers. Let's see what you remember of all the verses which we've studied so far. How do you conquer lamentation and illusion? Yes? Show knowledge. Okay, how do you become prideless? Jamashmi. Serving a great soul. How can you avoid obstacles in the path of mystic yoga? Yogi Adipurush? Keeping silent. You can avoid obstacles. And how can you conquer envy? Yes, Jainitai.
By not indulging in sense gratification.
Okay, not indulging in sense, yes, stopping sense gratification. Okay, let's go back here. How do you give up lusty desires for sense gratification? That's even, so the desire, now we're on the subtle level. Lila Shuka.
If making plans for, with determination not to engage in.
Yes, making plans with determination not to engage. So how do you conquer anger? I push.
By giving up lust.
And yes.
Giving up envy.
By giving up lust and then giving up envy, conquer anger. How do you give up greed? Adipush.
Discussing
the disadvantages of accumulating wealth. How do you give up fear? Fear. Lila Shuka?
By discussing the truth.
Discussing the truth. The truth will make you free. So these are instructions which we are getting here. How to, because our verses this morning were about how to become, how a person who is satisfied, he sees happiness everywhere. Just like someone who has shoes on his feet, he doesn't feel the thorns and the pebbles. So one who is satisfied, he sees auspiciousness everywhere and he's happy. So these are obstacles for our satisfaction. We're seeing how to overcome these obstacles here in these verses. Verse 25. One must conquer the modes of passion and ignorance by developing the mode of goodness, and then one must become detached from the mode of goodness by promoting oneself to the platform of Shuddha Sattva. All this can be automatically done if one engages in the service of a spiritual master with faith and devotion. In this way, one can conquer the influence of the modes of nature. So anybody here have a problem with the modes of nature? Yes, we have problems. So you have to overcome that by serving the spiritual master with faith and devotion. So comment here by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. There is one medicine that cures all diseases. It should be seen that for the jnanis, conquering lust is the main fruit, but for devotees, it is only a byproduct. So they try to go after these, the jnanis, they go after these. These are very nice instructions, and they follow these instructions. But for us, we just one stroke, devotional service, and we get all of these results. Purport, Prabhupada says, just by treating the root cause of an ailment, one can conquer all bodily pains and sufferings. Similarly, if one is devoted and faithful to the spiritual master, he can conquer the influence of sattvagun, rajagun, and tamagun very easily. So what's this root cause that we can get rid of by serving the spiritual master? What is he talking about? Adipush. False ego is the root. It goes back to false ego. Whatever we're doing that's not Krishna conscious goes back to false ego. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says something here. I already said that. Okay, the medicine. So there's a story here about Babaji Maharaj, Gaurakishordas Babaji. Someone once observed a follower of Gaurakishordas Babaji, he was begging alms at noon in the hot sun in the summer during the month of Chaitra, April, May. So this person went to Goikishwara's Babaji. He said, "Why is your servant begging in the hot sun? Everyone begs in the morning and then they return to their residence." So Goikishwara's Babaji sang a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Tomara Sheva Dukha Hoya Jata Sheta Paramashuka Seva Shuka Dukha Paramashampad Nashaya Avidya Dukha. Troubles encountered in your service shall be the cause of great happiness. For in your devotional service, joy and sorrow are equally great riches. Both destroy the misery of ignorance. So Gaurakishordas Babaji has given this instruction to those of us who desire our real benefit to take shelter of Lord Krishna and the devotees of the Lord. One must tolerate distress that assails one as one practices devotional service in this unhappy world. And in this way, the dualistic sufferings which appear in the form of happiness and distress will diminish. As long as one renders service to the Lord to achieve a comfortable material situation, he cannot become free from the bondage of ignorance. So these are instructions, further instructions, how to be happy in this world. Serve the spiritual master. So my god sister Govinda Dasi was once with Srila Prabhupada. And she asked Srila Prabhupada this question. Suppose someone is firmly convinced that Krishna consciousness is the only thing that will save him, but still he has inclination towards material activity. Will Krishna force him to become completely surrendered? What do you think? Will Krishna force somebody who has some material desires? Janmashtami.
But there's verses, Chaitanya Charitamrita,
yes,
that describe that if a devotee is so foolish to have material desires, then Krishna...
Yeah, it's poison. We want to drink poison, so why should I give this fool poison to drink?
So that's one answer.
Yeah, that's one answer. I'll give him the nectar of my lotus feet.
But then another one is that I'll grant his material desire, but in such a way that he won't desire it.
Yeah, another answer is I'll grant the material desire in such a way, and we have experience of that, all of us, I'm sure, that we want something, and then we get it, and then we're miserable because we got it. That's the nature of the material world, actually. Who was telling all those? Somebody was telling stories about people who win the lottery. I don't know where I read that.
Was
that Burijan? Oh, okay. That was Burijan. In the seminar. Oh, you? Yeah, it was your paper I read.
Over $60 million.
Yeah. They win the lottery, and then all the people fight over the money, and then they kill themselves, or what? You know, it just like ends in disaster. Yeah, that's why I read that in your paper. It was quite interesting how this... So Krishna takes away. There's another answer is... Yes, yahamanugrinami harishetatanam shanai. So that was Prabhupada's answer to the Govindadasi. Yes. He puts the devotee in such a way that he obliged to become fully Krishna conscious. So naturally we are materially associated so many lives. Even though we're trying to become Krishna conscious, our material attachments sometimes drag us. But if we are very strongly Krishna conscious, the attachment will be taken away by Krishna. Prabhupada says, "I personally have that experience." Listen to what he says. "I was not inclined to come to this line, but Krishna forced me." I was not inclined. That is a special favor. I'm now understanding. So Krishna is very intelligent. If we foolishly want something other than Krishna, he makes us forgetful of such nonsense. That is Krishna's special favor. Did anybody have that experience where Krishna took away everything from you? Yes, Lila Shuka. What did you lose? Your family? Your...
Yes, my wife, my children, my job.
Your job, your wife, your children?
All my possessions.
All your possessions? Amazing. And now here you are, a happy devotee, preaching compassion for all. Just see Krishna's intelligence, huh? What, Amali, what did you lose?
I lose my father and mother.
Father and mother, oh my goodness. For Indians, this is very difficult because family is so strong. And otherwise you wouldn't become devotee, I think. They wouldn't let you go, right?
Yeah.
See? So we got Vanamali here due to Krishna's mercy. Janamashtami, what did you lose?
Everything.
Yeah, Hare Prush.
One of my friends, a very nice devotee, he was a successful businessman, so he already became a devotee, but he thought, I will make another $10,000 for devotees, and then I'm moving to the temple.
Okay, he was thinking, he was a businessman, he said, I'll make another $10,000 for the devotees before I move into the temple. Then he lost everything. Finished. No excuses. Krishna's saying, no excuses. You want another $10,000? Well, forget it. You're coming in the temple right now. And then it'll be another and another and another after that. That's good, yeah? Yeah, there was one person became a devotee because he lost his friend. They were out surfing in the ocean. And, you know, two people together on the surfboards, you know, these boards out in the ocean, surfing the waves. He and his friend together, they were going everywhere, you know, to different, looking, chasing the waves, they call it, to different countries even. So one time they were out surfing and a lightning bolt came and struck his friend. And there was a hole in the surfboard where his friend once was. And so this person had been coming, visiting the temple. And then when he saw that, he immediately packed up and moved into the temple. That was it. Yes, he understood. I may be next. So he lost his friend, and that was enough for him to join the temple. So I have a little excerpt here from Radha Damodar Vilas about the early days preaching. This is one of my god sisters, Srimati. And she was actually a mother with three kids, and she somehow met the devotees in Seattle in 1968. And she said, Tamal was the first one to talk to me and convince me this was the end of the world and I should get on the good ship. He was always the businessman. Vishnu Jan always had the charisma. He'd attract the people in and Tamal would sign away their life. Sign here. You belong to Krishna and Prabhupada. I went home later that day and got my sleeping bag and a few other things and came back to the temple that evening and never left. So Jayananda was like the older brother. He was always working. He didn't have an in-charge air. Definitely Tamal was in charge. Jayananda was someone you could really depend on. Do this, do that, take responsibility here, there. He was very strong. So that was the verse, how to conquer. Now, we're conquering the modes of nature here. Now, Bhagavat, my godbrother, he had a problem with the modes. And he asked Prabhupada this question. He said to Prabhupada, I'm confused because throughout your books and your lectures you say when you become a devotee you're on the transcendental platform. So what verse is that in Bhagavad Gita? Mamchayovya bicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kapte. If you're a devotee then you transcend the modes. But at the same time you talk about being affected by the modes. Although I'm a devotee, practicing the principles of devotional service and experiencing a certain amount of transcendental pleasure, at the same time, I feel affected by the modes of material nature. How is it I can be on the transcendental platform and still be affected by the modes of material nature? Does that sound like a familiar problem we have? Are we all transcendental but affected by the modes? So this is Prabhupada's answer. It is just like being on a boat. When you're on the boat, no one can say you're not on the boat. You're on the boat, but sometimes big waves will come and rock the boat, so your position on the boat may not be steady. Those waves are the modes of material nature. And the boat is the transcendental platform. You're on the transcendental platform, but sometimes the waves of material nature rock the boat. Therefore, your position is not steady. How will you become steady? For that, you have to learn from the captain of the boat, the spiritual master, how to steer the boat. If you learn expertly, then your position in the boat will be steady even in the greatest storm. So now this sentence is really nice. Similarly, on the transcendental platform, if you learn from the spiritual master how to steer the boat of transcendence through the ocean of material life, then you will become steady even in the greatest storm of the modes of material nature. Now that's a very wonderful analogy by Srila Prabhupada. How to become steady, even though the modes are throwing us and tossing us in this world. steady in the modes.
That was
Bhagavat. No, this is a memories.
Oh.
Memory.
Is that in folio?
No, it won't be in folio. This book is not in folio. Again, our what do you? Oh, but it's on the. It's there are videos. It's a video of these things. Videos of devotees speaking these memories. So this is a transcription of the videos. There's books which were printed, which are transcribed videos of devotees speaking their memories of Srila Prabhupada. So at the end of the purport of, well, we already finished that verse, it's okay. Now, there is a quote here by Jiva Goswami is giving us a quote from, he doesn't say where, but it's from Satsandarbha. Lord Brahma explains in the Vamana Kalpa, one's mantra is identical with his spiritual master. One's spiritual master is identical with Lord Hari. When the spiritual master is pleased, then Lord Hari is pleased. So who is that spiritual master? He is described in the next two verses, 26. Spiritual master should be considered to be directly the Supreme Lord because he gives transcendental knowledge for enlightenment. Consequently, for one who maintains the material conception that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, everything is frustrated. His enlightenment and his Vedic studies and knowledge are like the bathing of an elephant. So this is Guru Aparad, Vaishnava Aparad. End of purport. One may argue by saying, since the spiritual master's relatives and men of his neighborhood consider him an ordinary human being, what is the fault on the part of the disciple who considers the spiritual master an ordinary human being? This will be answered in the next verse. But the injunction is the spiritual master should never be considered an ordinary man. One should strictly adhere to the instructions of the spiritual master, for if he is pleased, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada yasya prasada magati kutapi. So this is a very important principle to follow. Who is the spiritual master? According to Bhagavatam, 5th canto.
Guru
nisasyat. You should not be a guru unless you can deliver your dependent from the path of birth and death. So verse 27. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is the master of all other living entities and of the material nature. His lotus feet are sought and worshipped by great saintly persons like Vyas. Nonetheless, there are fools who consider Lord Krishna an ordinary human being. So we'll go to the second paragraph, three lines down. As clearly stated in text 26, Jnana Deepa Pradeh, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, gives real knowledge to the entire world. And the spiritual master is a representative of the Supreme Godhead, carries the message throughout the world. Therefore, on the absolute platform, there's no difference between the spiritual master and Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, commentary by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Even when everything is accomplished, when one considers a devotee guru to be a mere human, everything becomes futile. The meaning is one should not think about a guru who is directly the Lord as the Lord's particle. In other words, the worshipful Lord is directly manifesting himself, and if one develops a wicked consciousness of thinking it is a mortal human, whatever mantras dedicated to the Lord he might have heard, analyzed, etc., become futile. It's a very strong instruction by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Now in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 7:14, explains the position of the spiritual master in relationship to the Lord, as Prabhupada explained in this purport also. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, Ekalesha Krishna Arshabhitya. The only supreme master is Krishna, and all others, both Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, engage in service to the Lord. Both Vishnu Tattva, Nityananda, Prabhu and Advaita, and Jiva Tattva, Shivasri Gaur Bhaktivrinda, engage in the service of the Lord, but one must distinguish between Vishnu Tattva servitors and Jiva Tattva servitors. The Jiva Tattva servitor, spiritual master, is actually the servitor God. But as explained in previous verses, in the absolute world there are no such differences. Yet one must observe these differences in order to distinguish the supreme from his subordinates. So there you have it. And so you can understand what is the position of the spiritual master. He's a servitor of God. He carries the message, and the Lord gives the message. And he is the carrier. As Prabhupada often gave the example of the postman. Guru is like the postman. Verse 28. Ritualistic ceremonies, regulative principles, austerities, and the practice of yoga are all meant to control the senses and mind. But even after one is able to control the senses and mind, if he does not come to the point of meditation upon the Supreme Lord, all such activities are simply labor in frustration. So useless if you cannot, if all you do all these things, austerities, yoga, but if you don't come to the point of thinking of Krishna, then it's all useless. Imagine people, they spend lifetimes doing austerities, doing yoga. Useless if you don't come to the point of Krishna. So about seven lines down the purport, by various practices one may come to the point of controlling the senses, but simply controlling the senses does not bring one to a substantial conclusion. However, by staunch faith in the spiritual master and supreme personality of Godhead, one not only controls the senses, but also realizes the Supreme Lord. So here's how we do it. Yasya deve prabhakti yatadi yatagura tasayite kachita hyarta prakasham te mahatmana. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of the Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. It's further stated, Tushyam sarabhutatma guru shushushaya tarantyanjo bhavarnavam. Simply by rendering service to the spiritual master when crosses the ocean of nations and returns home back to Godhead. Thus he gradually sees the Supreme Lord face to face and enjoys life in association with the Lord. So this is Prahlad Maharaj. What did Prahlad Maharaj say? Do you remember what he said about his spiritual master, Narada Muni? He saved me. He saved me. Yes. I was falling into a well of, blind well full of snakes. So what were these, what is this blind well full of snakes?
Materialistic life.
Or the material body. Also, the body is like a well, and the snakes are? The senses, yes. So he was saved, and we are also saved, as long as we stay in the boat of transcendence. So I have here an excerpt from Srila Prabhupada's, this is the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Today, Sunday, November 10th, 1974, we have finished the English translation of Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in accordance with the authorized order of His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj, my beloved spiritual master, guide, and friend. Although according to material vision, His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada had passed away from this material world on the last day of December 1936, I still consider His Divine Grace to be always present with me by His Vani, His words. I think His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is always seeing my activities and guiding me within my heart by His words. So what do we sing every day? Divya Gyan Hride Prakashito. Guru, what is that? Guru Padma? The other one. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitete Korya Aikya. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitete. I keep the words of my Guru one with my heart. It's said in Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hida Ya Adi Kavye. Spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His Paramatma feature is always sitting with all His devotees and associates. Did you know that? It's not just, He's not alone there in your heart. Prabhupada says He's sitting with all His devotees and all His associates in your heart. Full house. If only we could see them. So, it is to be admitted that whatever translation work I have done is through the inspiration of my spiritual master, because personally I'm most insignificant and incompetent to do this materially impossible work. So the mentality of Srila Prabhupada, who did amazing things, but he was thinking, I am incompetent. I am, what is he, was insignificant, incompetent, materially impossible. I do not think myself a very learned scholar, But I have full faith in the service of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If there is any credit to my activities of translating, it is all due to His Divine Grace. So those are the last words, concluding words of Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Prabhupada. So just imagine, he translated the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this was his conclusion. Very humble conclusion. So here again, I have another from the memories of Prabhupada by Bhagwat Prabhu. Prabhupada was speaking to him, and he and Tamal were sitting in the room. And Prabhupada asked, "Can you quote this verse?" And neither of them knew the verse. They couldn't quote the verse to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "You are not reading my books. Every day you have to read, study, and learn my books, just like a lawyer learns the law books." So that's what we're doing here. We're all becoming lawyers of Srimad Bhagavatam. "You must know everything, chapter and verse. If you do not know, how will you preach? Do you know every day even I read my own books?" Prabhupada said, "Do you know why I read my books?" He said, "I read my books every day because even I learn something new when I read my books. Every morning when I sit down here to write my books, Krishna comes personally and dictates to me what to write. I simply take dictation from Krishna to write these books. Therefore, when I read the books, even I learn something." That's what he said. So here we have these books coming directly, Krishna's dictation to Srila Prabhupada, and it's being sweetened by the words, by the mouth of Srila Prabhupada as well. So we're so fortunate what we have here, free from all misery. So now, the next point, the last verse for today, Narada will make the point, if one performs activities that don't help us advance spiritually, they're no use, even if they are shastric. So we heard that in the verse 28 as well. So verse 29, "As professional activities or business profits cannot help one in spiritual advancement, but are a source of material entanglement, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot help anyone who is not a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So just imagine all these people doing Vedic ceremonies. No result unless you're a devotee. So it's quite interesting that there's all these Vedic sacrifices, and they're in the modes of nature, basically. Krishna tells Arjuna, you should give up these things. But actually, even for these people, unless you're a devotee, then you won't get any benefit from all these Vedic rituals. So only a devotee actually gets benefit. If you're a devotee, then you can get some benefit from this. So end of the purport. Srila Prabhupada says, especially in this Kali Yuga, material advancement means degradation and attraction to many unwanted necessities that can create a low mentality. Therefore, jaganya guna vritista. Since people are contaminated by the lower qualities, they will lead their next lives either as animals or in other degraded forms of life. So he's saying everybody in Kali Yuga, next birth, they're all going to be animals. Can you imagine? So the only thing that can stop them is this Krishna conscious movement. Making a show of religion without Krishna consciousness may make one popular in the estimation of unintelligent men, but factually, such a materialistic display of spiritual advancement does not help one at all. It will not prevent one from missing the goal of life. So these big, as Janmashti was telling us, these new ashrams and things, what will happen to these people in the next life? Prabhupada has told us, if you commit offense in Vrindavan, what will be your fate? You will become dogs, hogs, and monkeys in Vrindavan. So this is the fate of aparad in Vrindavan, people who commit aparad. I have one last thing from this Krishna Katamrita that is here, verse 57. As plunderers take away the wealth of men in the forest by threatening them with sharp weapons, similarly the charlatan meditators take away the wealth of people in the villages by the sharp pointed kusha grass used in ritualistic ceremonies that they perform. So the kusha grass is compared to sharp weapons, which takes away the wealth of the people. So they perform these rituals, but actually they're just taking away the people's money by use of their sharp kusha grass. The term used for a charlatan meditator is vaka vrata, the vow of the crane. A crane appears to perform great austerities by standing very still on one leg for a long period of time, but its only desire is to catch fish. So when you, if you go on Jamuna, if you go down the river, you will see cranes standing on one leg. And we came, one time we saw one such crane, we went back after 2 hours in the same place, standing on one leg. So these were sages, perhaps, in their last life, but their desire was not Krishna, perform these austerities. And so we have to be satisfied, that's the point of all these verses. But don't try to do something big. Don't try to be a big yogi, a big businessman. And we should try to overcome these obstacles simply by devotional service. We'll hear more about that later on in the verses that come after. But it's stressing simple living, high thinking. And Prabhupada in the purport says, chant Hare Krishna, engage in Krishna service. So we'll stop here. Do we have any questions or comments on these verses? Maivan Puri? Animal. That's right here, I think the purport. It's right in the purport of 29. 29 purport. After the quote, he quotes from Gita that those in the mode of goodness go up, and the mode of passion stay in the middle, and those in ignorance go down. So right after that, he says that. Jakanyaguna vritista, since people are contaminated by the lower qualities, they will lead their next lives either as animals or in other degraded forms of life. Right in the purport, after the quote of that verse. And he talks about Kali Yuga before. How Kali Yuga, material advancement, creates low mentality. They'll all become animals in their next lives. Right there. Jaini Tagore? Means becoming free from the modes. Well, no. Also, Sudha Sattva came before. There's all the things that came before that. So that's the modes. And promoting oneself to Shuddha Sattva. By promoting oneself to Shuddha Sattva.
All the words in this verse.
That's what it says. Well, that's what I understood. What's in this verse here.
I understood the whole thing.
Oh, the whole thing. Oh, yeah, that also. Why not? All the verses. If you just do one thing, serve the spiritual master with faith and devotion. Yes. That's a nice understanding. You can conquer anger, lust, greed, everything. Because you give everything to the spiritual master. Janamashmi, you had something. We're going back to verse 13, this morning's verse. His own religion. Vitarma. Anti.
Yeah. The internal. This is
Dharma. Paro Dharma. On means real. On means real. Paro Dharma. Yes, Sanatana Dharma. Okay. Any other comments or questions on these verses? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.